A year you're a cleaner, then you have to start to study then to become a past cleaner. And the studying there is you have a week of theory and a week of practical. An inspector takes you and he has about a dozen lads. The theory part, I wasn't great at theory, but on the practical side, yes, I was all right on the practical side. I knew what my hands and feet were doing. He used to say at the end of the day, "Very well done for you and you and you." He said that. "Very well done," he said, but yes, that'll be all. And then he said to us, like, you know, "You're a bit down on it. You've got a bit study more." You had your black book, all the parts of the engine, how the injectors work, things like how the firing, the temperature. And then we had a red book to do with signals, P-ways and everything there and what takes place, which we had to study for them. But mostly it was to do with the loco and all the parts there, which we did. So the next week would be the practical. The theory people, the lads, had done the theory 100%. They weren't all that great because they went on the engine with the inspector and they said, "Well, no, show us what you can do now." They weren't very good. But us, like, and he thought, "Hello, well, you know what you're doing, like, firing and everything. You go onto the footplate and you've got to describe all the instruments, like, you go into the coal elevator and all the tools, detonators, that comes all the practical. You're firing, like, it's an art in firing. It isn't just like throwing the coal into the firebox. You've got to place the coal." Well, then there's others there, they weren't quick thinking. If you want to put water, it start blowing off, like the safety valves are coming off, like. If you get to Houston and the station master's there, and you hear you're blowing off, here, come over and give you a right balling out, you see. You don't blow off steam in the station or make smoke. This is all the sort that comes under the practical side. I came out with about 85% out of 100, so that's pretty good, like, you know. And that's your test you're going through, and then you go through all the parts of the boiler and all like that, where everything, palm stays and everything. Everything appertaining to the boiler, engine, names of the rods, things like that, and how they operate. That takes a good week. Then comes the time now, you work a train. The engine could be a compound thing. What you do, you go down with the inspector, you go down to Houston, and then you work the train, something like to Rugby or Coventry, but mostly Rugby. The pass key means you are a temporary fireman. When you pass that test, you become a temporary fireman. But the pass cleaner then also means that you don't do any of the bottom end of the wheels, that you could do the top half, the post jobs, like, you see. And the inspector we had was Inspector Sparks, and he was a Sparks as well, a bowler hat and everything. He gets on there, then that's the only time he had three on the footplate. He didn't used to tell you anything, he just watched everything, what you was doing, wouldn't interfere with you.
And so you're firing the engine now?
You're firing the engine, yeah, and doing everything that you've been taught. Then when he thinks that, you know, when you get to Houston, you've done that trip and you come back, boy, there might be a parcel train. You come into Houston, and then he gives you a letter stating that you're now fast cleaner, which is a temporary fireman. If any fire members go sick or anything or couldn't make it, then you'll get the turn, like.
How did you feel when you got that letter?
Very proud. I showed my father, like, and he said, "Oh, bloody hell." And then Mum said, "Oh, bloody hell, you're a fireman now then." I said, "Well, not quite," but I said, "Well, yes, we're on the way." Well done, he said. You know, that was it. I remember in them days, my first trip as a past cleaner, my first train was to Manchester. You felt very proud, like. You got all your sandwiches and everything like that. Then you walk down to Dumpton Place, up over the thing, into the shed. Then you go to the former's office. He says, oh, yes, Mr. Scott, you know, oh, Master Scott here. So you get a little bit of crib, like, with the crews, like. And he said, righto, there's your engine. You look on the board and see your engine. I think it was a 5XP, I believe, something like that. It was a Manchester engine, anyway. So I went out from there and I thought, right. So I went to the stores and got all the equipment, lamps, oil, detonators, all the things, tools. Went to the engine, got on the footplate, put all my things in the, you know, tender where your lockers were. And I was well in time there, well before the time. You had about an hour and a half to get the engine ready. I got there very early, like. And I got underneath, did all the oiling up, three-cylinder engine, and I oiled up all underneath. I thought to myself, well, I'll get a bit big-headed, like, so I started oiling up with the outside rods, you see, which weren't too bad. And I thought, well, that helped the driver, and I didn't know who the driver was. I got on the footplate, started making me fire up, checking the water, half a glass, yes, that's lovely. I had about £80 on the clock. I thought, right, that's lovely. Checked my coal on the coal tender, like, yeah, so you had no coal falling off. And then the driver arrived. He was a Manchester man, you know, and he come on there, and an oldish old boy, and I said to him, I'm Alex Scott. I said, I'm your fireman. He said, oh, I gathered that. He said, you've been round this engine. I said, well, I thought I'd do you a good turn. I said, I came here quite very early, I said, and I've oiled up everywhere, but I'd like you to inspect to see if I've done it all right. You've done really well, he said. Very nice, he said. Yeah, no. He said, oh, well, if it goes on, we'll have a good trip, he said. And so we got there, felt proud, and I said, well, I'll go up the canteen first to, we'll have a billy a can, tea, like, you know. He said, aye, have a tea then, you know. He said, what you got there, lad? I said, well, this is something that me an old farmer told me to do, a bottle of cold tea, no sugar, no milk. Aye, that's a good thing, he said. You'll never get dry-throated on that. So I went to the canteen, got a billy can of tea.
Did you tell him it was your first turn?
Oh, yeah. I'm a past cleaner, he said. Well done, he said. Now, right, he said, take notice of what we do, he said, and I'll give you some instructions, he said. See how you're getting on. I'll keep an eye on you, he said, and I'll pass me remarks. He said, I'm not being sarcastic. I said, no, that's all right. I said, we all start once. He said, yes, well done, he said. And that was it. So we got down to Euston and hooked on, put the steam heater on and everything like. He came out and watched me, and the guard watched me there, and he said, yes, all right. And he came up and he said, well, I'm the guard and like that. And I don't know who he was, but he told us the tonnage and what all like that. He said, let's hope you have a good trip. So and that was that. Then we waited for the all start ready to go, like. You all right? He said, oh, you all right, lad? He said, you've got 2 minutes to go. I said, yes, all right. So I just looked out. All of a sudden, there was a load of whistling, like, you know, and right away. He said, righto then. And that was it. Open come the regulator, and off we went.
What did it feel like then, doing it for the first time for real?
Oh, bloody hell, well, you felt very pleased, you know, because he looked in the fire and he said, you got a good idea. He said, you got a sloping firebox, and you've got a good back end, he said, that's what we want, he said. He said, keep it light at the front and all that. I said, all right. So the journey was quite good like, you know. And we're going along, then we've gone through Carpenter's Park, then we got to Bushy, and he said, now the next one, he says, pick up water. I said, right, you come over this side, he said, and I'll give you the time when to put the scoop down. And then he said, try not to overspill it. She said, they don't like it like that. So when you get about 500 gallons from the top, you start winding up, like, and you don't overfill then. And of course, you've got on the back of the end, you've got the palm stays, what they call the palm stays. They're overflow pipes, you see, so you don't like that. So you did that. And he said, so, well done, he said, that's good, he said. So we've got a full tank of fuel, and that's it. Well, to crew, you pick up water five times. The water throws are about a quarter of a mile long. If it's double-headed, the second engine, the train engine, picks up water first. The other one picks up water the last quarter of a mile, you know. That's it. So you're sharing the water, like. We come to Tring, cut in. Now, he said, now, you've got a good fire in there. He said, keep it like that, he said. Don't put in much more coal. He said, just let's go down. He said, I'll come in, bringing it down to about 45% cut off. We're going downhill now. We should go through Cheddington, and then we're going to hit Lindsley Tunnel. And he said, now, I'll tell you what to do. He said, you put your blower hard on. He said, you close all your dampers. And then he said, you close all your windows. And I do the same, he said. And then he said, we'll hit that tunnel. It's a single line tunnel, he said. It's not very long. And he said, we'll hit that tunnel at about 80 miles an hour. Now, he said, stand in the corner. Just hold your cloth to your face, he said, because you'll see the flame shoot through the far old door, he said. The four door will be closed, but still flame shoot. Within about 4 seconds, you're in and out. That's where you can use your hat as well, you know, so.
So it was a good trip, that first trip to Manchester, was it?
It was a very good trip, because when we got there, then you go onto the shed and you book off at Manchester, you see. And he said, I'm very pleased, he said, very well done, he said, you know, and it gives you a little bit of a boost, and, you know, and you couldn't ring your dad because there were no phones in them days, you know, so. Yeah, I was quite pleased, and he said there, well done, lad. And if a driver said that, you know you've done well done, you know. And the foot plate was clean, I washed it down, you should say to him there, when you just hose the walk foot down, lift your legs, driver, say, lift your legs, and get it nice and clean, he said. Well, everything he said was wonderful.
Work as a fireman really all the time, or did you go back to cleaning?
Oh no, you was a past cleaner. You still did cleaning jobs, and if a fireman job come up, that was it. You was always called upon, and the foreman, it was his job to say, "Now we've got down now for the next. We got a job for tomorrow or something like that." Well, Scott's there. Well, I said, "Oh yeah, well he's next. You know, that's right." And this is how it went on.
What kind of trains did you start to work then?
You'd be might be in the shunting yard. You always had a shunting yard. I mean, there's always plenty of them jobs around, which was a very good experience, because that was today I was a railwayman, that was the wash day. You washed your ovals in that day and put them on the boiler. When a train come in, fully loaded with all goods, all sorts of things, like whatever else, furniture or coal, minerals or anything like that, comes in ready to go onto the dock at Camden Cartage, right? Well, then what your job there was to shunt them, like you go right the way back to Primrose Hill Tunnel with all the things, rather than you hook on, then you start getting it. The shunter will be giving you all the signals. He would say, right, hit them up, like, you know, you hit them up, like, and then stop. They would go down, they put the rails there, they all do all the point work, they go to the respective lines, then you come along, then you go back again to do another line, and that's how you went. That was your shunting duties, till everything was shunted. And then you carry on, then you start building up a train. Could be empty stock. Let's go, they bought empty, so you go back, you're going to take all the returns back, you know. So you pick up a train, and the engine would come wherever it was, from Wilson mostly, and work the train, the freight train, then out, and away you went. That was your shunting duty.
And did you go much about London?
Yes, you had the Gentry line. Yeah, we had a bit went to Maiden Lane and done round there, and then got to Broad Street and took a local freight, like, you know, shunted about there, then came back about 2 hours later, came back, picked all up what we did, and then back into the yard again, then back onto the shed. That was your day's work then, you know. Right. Yeah.
What was your favourite engine?
Well, the favourite engine was always a Duchess, wasn't it? It was a big engine, wasn't it? It was a four-cylinder, wasn't it? First time to go to Carlisle as a fireman, as past cleaner, my first long trip. At the time, I was playing in a dance band at Chalk Farm, and I was doing quite well, and we played for about 3 or 4 hours. I played the drums and carted them home, got home about 1 o'clock. I got into bed about half past one. I got woken up at 6 o'clock with my mother. I had 5 hours sleep. Mother called me, she said, well, you've got a call out. He said, you've got to book on at 7 o'clock. And the engine, what it is, and it's Carlisle, you see. And I said, oh, bloody hell, yeah, all right. Are you OK, son? I said, yes, I'm OK. I've got your food ready and your sandwiches and everything. She said, off you go, and off I went. Not saying anything to anybody, young as I was, you know, great thing. My first mainline trip. And I thought, then I got on the shed, and I see my driver, he's a Palmerdine man, and I told him I was on my first trip, got to Euston. He told me what to do and what to do, and then we had a wonderful trip till we got to Preston. Then he gave me a lecture. He said, right, now this is the time now, he said, when you use you should be now taking things quietly now, sitting down quite often because it's a tough old trip. You're going up Shap Summit now, you see. So I said to him, righto, okay. Well, we left Preston and firing away. Oh, we were doing all right. He said, how are you doing, laddie? I said, I'm doing all right, thank you very much. And, I sat down now, getting a bit tired, felt a bit tired. Then I put the injector, took the injector off and filled up the firebox. And then I sat down and then he said, come on, laddie. And I couldn't move. I've used all my energy up. And the language he gave me, he said, aye, laddie, he said, I bloody told you, he said, you used all up your energy. And I sat on there, I couldn't talk, as I died. I couldn't do anything. And he swore at me and I couldn't answer him. So we had to stop at Tea Bay, pick up a fireman from there. They worked the train to Carlisle, and they took me off at Carlisle, took me to Kingmore Lodge. I slept for 14 hours. And 2 months later, I met the Fulwardy driver, and we said, aye, laddie, he said, I've heard new you, he said, aye. He said, you're the lad that collapsed out at Tea Bay. I said, that's it. Aye, now hold on a minute, he says. You never told me, he said. I said, what? He said, you played in the band, didn't you? And I was there. He said, you played at Chalk Farm Dance Hall. I said, yes. I said, what time did you get home? I said, I got home about 1 o'clock and I got in bed about half past one. I got a call out at 6 o'clock. And he said, well, laddie, if I'd have known that, he said, I wouldn't have had you on there. And that was it. And I apologise for swearing at you, he said. And that was it. He said, I apologise. He said, you're a bloody good fireman. He said, I've never known a fireman to be like that, playing a bloody dance band for about 4 hours. He said then, and that was it.
What was it like in the blackout?
Well, the blackout was, well, eerie-like, you know. You got, everything would change there. All the signs were taken down. W's picking up water. Post office pickups as well, and drops and everything like that. All your windows were blackened out. Signals, all the things you could see, signals, but that's about all. And everything was dark. And you had the instruction, don't open the file door as much as possible. If there's an air raid on, you keep the file door closed, but you had to fire the bloody end. Every time you opened the firebox, it was like a bloody searchlight coming out, you see. So you had to be careful there. But we got on all right with it. you had to know the road. You both had to know the road, like, you know. And we got used to it, like points watching, see a church come along, or if you go through a tunnel and you think yourself, ah, you know where we are, yes, that's okay.